Mics are live.
Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:01 a.m. on Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman. So we do have a quorum. For opening comments, there are two things I want to mention. October, the governor declared October as Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and it's also National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and October as well is National Co-op Month. So a shout out to all the co-ops across the state, and you know, we work with a number of them, electric co-ops in particular. So congrats on the awareness and the work you do in the state. It's very important. And also on the cybersecurity front, that just continues to be a growing issue in terms of maintaining security and making sure we're safe in terms of protecting sensitive data. So with that, Commissioner Fedorchek.
I will just add on that today is also National Custodian Appreciation Day. So appreciative shout out to all the people who work hard to keep our building nice.
All right. Commissioner Christman?
And do a good job of it, too.
Very good.
Fantastic. A well-kept building. I want to point out, and I should have checked exactly the day, I believe next Friday is the opening of the new Williston Airport. Mm. I believe that is the first greenfield constructed new airport in North Dakota in a half a century, probably. Quite an accomplishment. We, of course, aren't the aviation regulators, but the reason that it's being built and that the old one was became inadequate was because of all the oil and gas development, and we play a big role in that. And so as things have built out up there, and I think in a pretty responsible way, this commission has played a role in it, and it's quite an accomplishment and quite a feat. I don't even remember the price tag on it. I think it's some quarter of a billion or something like that for... I shouldn't have even thrown out a number. I'm not sure of what that amount was, but it's quite a construction project, and it'll be fun to see that up and operational and becoming useful for the people up in that area to have a more adequate airport for the amount of air traffic they have.
What's happening to the old one?
Interesting. The communities, the airport authority, and in this case that's Williston, when an airport is abandoned like that, they are able to come up with a redevelopment plan. And so I've not heard that they've come up with a plan yet, but you know, I know that they're working on it. There's been meetings about it and such, and so that is going to be land right in the middle of town available for some type of a project or development.
You hope they'd make use of the runway somehow without just tearing it all up. It's a lot of...
Okay, so we have one vote for a drag strip.
I was going to say strip mall, but that's just really bad. So I guess I did. No, that is a great addition without question. Okay, we have six items on consent on the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second. Give it to Randy, please.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. I have one item. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and public service commission, Fox Hills Fencing, damage prevention enforcement, case number PU-19-215.
Second.
On June 28th, 2019, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Kinder Morgan alleging a violation by Fox Hills Fencing of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-23, which is the one-call excavation notice system. The commission followed up with a letter to Fox Hills, and Fox Hills did file a response that was received in June. I take that back. In July, we received the response from them about the complaint, and then staff worked with them and came up with a consent agreement. And as a result, Fox Hills was fined for resolution of the complaint. Fox Hills Fencing is located in Bowman, North Dakota, and I spent a little bit of time on their website. They do agricultural fencing. They do pipelines for water supply for cattle, et cetera. And so they're active in the area. And what this complaint was about, they did call in for a locate ticket. The facilities, all facilities were marked with the exception of the Kinder Morgan facility. And they had indicated that typically they would get a call from Kinder Morgan, but in this instance they did not, which is not something that the operators are obligated to do. It's nice when they do, but they're not obligated to do that. This is the first time that Fox Hills Fencing has had a complaint filed against them. So their track record has been good up to this point with this one infraction. And under the consent agreement that advocacy staff worked out, and I'll point out that advocacy staff is very thorough when they work with a complaint. They work with whoever filed the complaint. They work with the entity that the complaint is filed against, and they really do a good job of gathering the facts and taking a look at the particular cases. In this one, that there's a fine of $500, $250 of that will be suspended on the condition that Fox Hills Fencing commits no further violations of the North Dakota One Call Law within a period of 5 years. If they do, if that were to occur and they had another complaint, they would pay the remainder of the suspended amount, as well as being potentially impacted by additional amounts on top of that. So I'm comfortable with this after talking with staff and the fact that, again, Fox Hills hasn't had a violation lodged against them is helpful. But just a reminder to everybody, especially, you know, whether you're working on the agricultural end of it, you know, there's a flurry of activity that's going to occur as we go into fall. And that's understandable, trying to beat the time when everything is frozen, which isn't that far off, unfortunately. So we have a few more months. There will be heightened activity, but you know, people have to make sure they adhere to the law, call in for the locates, and then make sure the facilities are marked and that they have confirmation the facilities are marked before proceeding, because we don't want any damage to be done and, or worse yet, injury and or death to occur.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, that completes my agenda items. Commissioner Christman.
I move the commission approve the decommissioning plans and cost estimates filed on August 23rd, 2019 for the four phases of the Bison Wind Facility in Elite Incorporated Bison 1 Wind Project, Oliver and Morton Counties, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-11-560. Elite Incorporated Bison 2 Wind Project, Oliver and Morton Counties, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-12-241. Elite Incorporated Bison 3 Wind Project, Oliver and Morton Counties, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-18-232. And Elite Incorporated Bison 4 Wind Project, Oliver and Morton Counties, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-18-233.
Second.
These four projects cumulatively have a nameplate capacity of 496.6 megawatts from 165 turbines. Bison 1 was completed in 2010, and that's a mixture. There are 31 turbines, 16 are 2.3 megawatts, 15 are 3 megawatts. Bison 2 and Bison 3 were both completed in 2012. They're both 35 turbines, and all the turbines are 3 megawatts. And then Bison 4 was the most recent one. That was completed in 2015. That's the big one. That's 64 turbines and 3.2 megawatt units. In this decommissioning plan, their 230 kV transmission line is assumed to remain in place. Collection lines are assumed to be at least 2 feet deep. And the material from the decommissioning is assumed to be hauled to the Mandan landfill, so a 50-mile about haul that they have planned into the costs. They figured no tipping fee for the aggregate material. And to me, that kind of goes against our not counting recycling value. But, I mean, the aggregate is going to have that worth, and I guess I find that to be okay. Their access roads, the parking areas, the storage yards, the crane pads, et cetera, will all be removed, recycled, and reclaimed. The total cost without salvage value of decommissioning all four is estimated at $24,745,930. And so the average per turbine is just under $150,000. We require these estimates, the plan to come from an outside licensed North Dakota engineer. They used Burns and McDonnell. They pointed out they did not visit the site and haven't verified the information provided by Minnesota Power, but I think that's kind of common language, so I'm comfortable with it. There was one thing in here that probably caused me the most concern, and that is a comment that Minnesota Power is a public utility and intends to provide a self-guarantee ultimately. So this motion is about the decommissioning plan and the cost estimate. And visiting with legal, this does not require us to accept whatever financial assurances they provide when they're ultimately provided. And so keep in mind that this is being done separately. That the whole concept of the public utilities could do the self-guarantee, my recollection of the discussion had a lot to do with rate-regulated jurisdictional companies, which this is not. They may be a private utility, but they're not rate-regulated by us. But the rule only says that we may. So even rate-regulated jurisdictional companies, we could also not accept self-guarantees as well. So even though that's mentioned in here, my discussion with legal was that this does not bind us to accepting that. So when we get to, at some point, a motion along the way to accept some financial assurances, this is separate from that. So I just wanted to emphasize that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission issue a notice of intent to amend order and notice of opportunity for hearing in Mid-Continent Communications designated eligible carrier application case number PU-16-48 and Mid-Continent Communications designated eligible carrier application case number PU-17-50.
Second.
In 2016 and 2017, this commission issued two different orders designating Mid-Continent Communications as an eligible telecommunications carrier in a total of 30 exchange areas within North Dakota. On September 6th of this year, Midco filed a motion to partially amend those orders, requesting that we remove the requirement to file annually a complete listing of Lifeline customers, and that requirement includes the type of proof reviewed, the eligibility dates, and the North Dakota Department of Human Services Form 1059. So they're asking that requirement be lifted. This is just the notice of opportunity, so comments and requests for the hearing would need to be received by November 18th of 2019. And, of course, if deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing.
So, Randy, can I ask questions yet?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I know what it is.
Are you planning on having an informal on this to talk to them about that request?
Good question. Glad you asked, because I kind of missed a step in explaining that I hadn't thought of before. The one of the federal agencies that oversees some telecommunications, not the FCC, but there's a new national verifier. Since we came out with our rules that I was really proud of, I felt like we, maybe almost one of the few, if not the only state, that really did something to try to prevent waste, fraud, and abuse in this program. After we did that, they have come out with a national verifier now, and it's being rolled out in about six waves. North Dakota was in a group of states in the second wave, so it actually started in January last year. Seems to be working well. So I don't know that there's a good case anymore for that we need to be requiring this, because up to now it seems like that's working. But although I haven't completely made up my mind, if someone else wants an informal, we could sure move that way, or I may ask for one too. We needed to do this part to see if there's public comment or requests initially. But there is an alternative that up to now I think is better and more effective than what we were able to do as a state with this requirement. And actually this has never worked quite as well as we hoped. I think it did good, but it probably has never worked as well as we hoped because of issues with Social Security numbers that were necessary in it. So I think it's all moving in a good direction, but yes, we may want to do an informal.
Okay.
And I don't know then if this would apply to the other carriers as well if we choose to move that direction. This is the only request we've had.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
In my last motion, I move the commission adopt the order in Intercommunity Telephone, Absaraka Cooperative, Local Exchange, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-19-224, and Intercommunity Telephone, Absaraka Cooperative, Designated Eligible Carrier Application, case number PU-19-230.
Second.
So ordinarily I would save these things for later, but just because this isn't small town trivia, this is just an explanation, because Intercommunity, of course, doesn't tell you where it's at, and some of our listeners and viewers might not be familiar with all these communities. So Absaraka, this would merge them into an exchange of another company, and that exchange is the Wheatland Buffalo Exchange. So for perspective, Wheatland is about 6 miles west of Castleton. Buffalo is about 10 miles west of Wheatland, so about 16 miles west of Castleton. Both are north of I-94, but they're just off a little further, so you don't notice them when you're driving down the interstate as much as you would Castleton. Absaraka, then, this other exchange that would be melded into there, is about 5 miles farther north, kind of in between them, but a bit closer to Wheatland than it is to Buffalo. So we have two cases here, and there's two issues. The first issue, on July 1st of this year, Intercommunity Telephone Company, LLC, and Absaraka Cooperative filed a joint application requesting authorization for Intercommunity to provide local exchange services in the area currently known as the Absaraka Telephone Exchange. The second issue, also on July 1st, the two companies filed a joint application requesting that intercommunity be designated as an essential telecommunications carrier in the Absaraka local exchange area. That would allow them to get universal service funding. On July 25th, less than 4 weeks later, we issued a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearing that provided until September 4th for comments and requests for hearing. No requests or comments were received. And so, it should be pointed out, Intercommunity is a wholly owned subsidiary of Beck Communications Cooperative at Steele. And I think most everyone's familiar with Beck. In support of the joint applications, Intercommunity provided an affidavit of Derek Bolowa, the president of Intercommunity. Absaraka Cooperative provided an affidavit of Steve Manilaz, the president of Absaraka Cooperative, and a resolution of their board of directors. So regarding the first issue, the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, Intercommunity currently provides telecom services in 9 telephone exchanges, and that Buffalo Wheatland is one of them, and that's what Absaraka would be merging into. Absaraka has just the one exchange, and there's 47 access lines in that exchange. Absaraka will continue to provide local exchange service until all members in the Absaraka local exchange have been connected to Intercommunity. Absaraka will has contacted all its members and received consent for the proposed assignment to Intercommunity. The Absaraka exchange members would like to connect to Intercommunity to gain access to higher speed internet service, access to Intercommunity's TV program, and access to Intercommunity's local calling area. Intercommunity intends on bearing fiber to the premise for all the customers in the Absaraka exchange. The fiber to the premise will offer an active Ethernet 1 gig to each subscriber premise to deliver voice, data, and video services, including expanded EAS. Absaraka subscribers will be incorporated into Intercommunity's Buffalo Wheatland local exchange, as I mentioned earlier. Thus, the record indicates that Intercommunity, I think, is fit and able to provide telecommunication services from its Buffalo Wheatland telephone exchange to the customers in the Absaraka exchange. The other issue regarding designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier, an affidavit of Derek Bulowa of Intercommunity affirms that it will continue to meet the obligations of an ETC in the Absaraka telephone exchange. That is the standard that we use in certifying or recommending these to the FCC, is that kind of an affidavit. Based on the 2002 order of the commission, that's how we would handle them. So based on the evidence in this proceeding, Intercommunity is qualified under the Telecommunications Act of 1996 for designation as an ETC to receive the federal universal service funding, and it is in the public interest that Intercommunity be designated as an ETC in the expanded service area and allow these, what did I say, I've forgotten how many customers or access, 47 access lines to get up and to the point where they're receiving the excellent telecommunication services that the Wheatland Buffalo Exchange is currently receiving and be on the right side of the digital divide.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I just want to throw in one additional comment that I should have attached to my opening comments, and that is I mentioned electrical co-ops, but telecoms do a fantastic job as well, and this is one of those teachable moments for me, in that you start trying to list all of the co-ops in the state, you're going to get into trouble. So to everyone, thanks for the good work you do.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you. For announcements, we have a 1:30 informal hearing today. That is with North American Local, designated eligible carrier application. That's at 1:30 here on the 12th floor of the Capitol in the Commission hearing room on Tuesday, October 8th, we have an informal hearing as well at 8:30 a.m. That is for Coyote Creek Mining Company. Case numbers RC19189 and RC19190. One is a renewal, one to a permit, and another is a revision, nine actually, to a permit. Wednesday, October 9th at 9:30 a.m., we have a wind industry semi-annual meeting. It will be the first one of its kind for that industry. Then at 1 o'clock on Wednesday, October 9th, at 1 p.m., we have a PHMSA and then a slash PSC conference call where we'll get together and visit with them. And then our next regular commission meeting is on Tuesday, October 22nd. That is at 10 a.m. here on the 12th floor, or at the 12th floor of the Capitol at the PSC, followed by an informal hearing at 1:30 that day, and that is for MDU Electric Service agreement with American Colloid Company, and that's case number PU18433. Since we are only at 10:27, yes.
And the announcements, I believe I'd stand to be corrected, but I believe that the Tuesday hearing on the Coyote Creek mine is a hearing with staff and the ALJ and the mine and the I don't know what the legal term is for the complainants or the ones who object to the renewal. I don't believe that would involve the commission.
Yeah, I was curious about that too. It shouldn't probably be on this calendar.
Okay, this is how we have it right now in terms of events. So we should get that corrected. Okay. All right, see if we have any. Nope, that'll finalize all of that. Since it's 10:28, there aren't any objections.
One more thing on scheduling. Are the two of you planning to go to the Great Plains Empowering at all?
Yes.
On Tuesday? Then we probably should notice that. It's the Great Plains Empower ND conference at BSC, and it runs pretty much all day at the Energy Center.
Yep.
On the 8th.
Okay. That is good. If there aren't any objections, we'll move right into the admin portion of the meeting since it is 10:28.
I'm good.
Finally.
We're assuming there's not an objection.
We're adjourned then on this one? We don't need to.
We don't have to adjourn. We can keep
myself
motoring right through. We have, and this is the admin portion of the meeting, we normally take a break.